Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 10, day 3 of our study of Judges. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Judges 20, 33 through 48. Welcome back to the 10-Week Bible Study. Again, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. And if you have any questions or comments about the podcast or the 10-Week Bible Study in general, I'd love to hear from you. You can send an email to me at darrenhibbs.com or click the show notes or the description to find all of my contact information. With that, let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Come and touch us. Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. We want to know you more, not just more about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's go ahead and jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Judges chapter 20, starting at verse 33. All of the men of Israel moved from their places and took up positions at Bel Tamar. And the Israelite ambush charged out of its place on the west of Gibeah. Then 10,000 of Israel's able young men made a frontal attack on Gibeah. The fighting was so heavy that the Benjamites did not realize how near disaster was. The Lord defeated Benjamin before Israel, and on that day, the Israelites struck down 25,100 Benjamites, all armed with swords. Then the Benjamites saw that they were beaten. Now, if you're keeping score here, if you're doing the math, you remember that there were only 26,000 Benjamites to start with here in this army. So this is giving us a brief synopsis about what's going to happen here, and it's going to give us a little bit of the details. It's going to fill in some of the details here as we continue on reading. But basically, there's 900 able-bodied Benjamites left after this attack. 900 total, and we're going to find it's actually a few less than that. Even, but basically there's almost nobody left. They almost completely eradicate. And as we're going to see, they do almost completely eradicate everybody in Benjamin for allowing the wickedness that was going on there. And then the greater sin was standing up for and being willing to fight for the wickedness that was being perpetrated there. Let's continue on. Now, the men of Israel had given way before Benjamin because they relied on the ambush they had set near Gibeah. That means that they actually, you know, they started the battle and then they started running away. They gave way to them to allow the ambush to have enough space to come in behind them. And then verse 37, those who had been in ambush made a sudden dash into Gibeah, spread out and put the whole city to the sword. The Israelites had arrayed with the ambush that they set. Should send up a great cloud of smoke from the city, and then the Israelites would counterattack. So the idea there is that the people of Judah, the Israelites that were attacking first, were going to retreat, make some space for the other people to get inside, and then start burning things that there would be a lot of smoke coming up, and then they would know, okay, the ambush has worked. And when this happens, it's going to completely demoralize the Benjamites. Continuing on, the Benjamites had begun to inflict casualties on the Israelites, about 30. And they said, we are defeating them as in the first battle. But when the column of smoke began to rise from the city, the Benjamites turned and saw the whole city going up in smoke. Then the Israelites counterattacked and the Benjamites were terrified because they realized that disaster had come on them. So they fled before the Israelites in the direction of the wilderness, but they could not escape the battle. And the Israelites who came out of the towns cut them down there. They surrounded the Benjamites, chased them, and easily overran them in the vicinity of Gibeah on the east. 18,000 Benjamites fell, all of them valiant fighters. As they turned and fled toward the wilderness to the rock of Rimmon, the Israelites cut down 5,000 men along the roads. So 18,000 of them died in battle. Then as they realize, oh my gosh, everyone's dead, they've burned the city, they start running the other direction and another 5,000 of them die as they're fleeing. Verse 46, on that day, 25,000 Benjamite swordsmen fell, all of them valiant fighters, but 600 of them turned and fled into the wilderness to the rock of Rimmon, where they stayed 4 months. The men of Israel went back to Benjamin and put all the towns to the sword, including the animals and everything else they found, all the towns they came across. they set on fire. So here we see that the Israelites completely destroyed the tribe of Benjamin. This is a tragedy. This is a terrible, terrible tragedy in the history of Israel. Unfortunately, because the judgment of the Lord was on the entire nation for this wickedness, many of the people of Judah and Israel died because of this wickedness. But also almost everyone in Benjamin dies as well. And here we see that, you know, they're not taking a terribly specific accounting for this. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people falling and dying. And so obviously somebody is going along and accounting for all of the dead bodies, but it probably took some time. And just you can imagine the morbidity of all this. The numbers are not precise, as you would kind of expect in a moment like this, but they're close. And so what we see is there's 600 of these able-bodied Benjamites escape. And for 4 months, they stay in hiding. That's going to be important here. So we know that the last chapter here, verse 20, or chapter 21 of Judges, there's going to be a 4 month window of time that all of this is happening during, and that's important for, you know, what's going to happen here. So some time is elapsing here, but the moral of this is that very few of them survive. I mean, almost none. You know, so few. And then on top of that, after they're done with this battle, they go and they set fire to all of the rest of the cities of Benjamin because they stood up for this wickedness. They felt it necessary to completely purge this wickedness from within Israel. They knew that the Lord, and if they had any doubts about the Lord's judgment against the nation of Israel, the first 2 days of these battles were the proof. Now, again, they were prepared for this battle to be long and protracted, but it only took 3 days. They have, you know, set apart 10% of the people to get provisions and all that kind of stuff, which sounds like, hey, we're getting ready for a long siege and battle. It didn't end up going that way. But if there was any doubt that the judgment of the Lord was against the nation of Israel, the first 2 days of the battle were the proof of that, because he told them to go and they still lost. That's tragic and defeating and humbling. But in our day to day, the Lord doesn't deal with us any differently. Now, we're not necessarily part of the redemptive history of Israel. So if you're in America, if you're anywhere else, what I'm not saying is that America is the same as Israel and the promises and all that stuff is the same as that. I'm not saying that. It's not the same as Israel. But the Lord deals with every nation according to their deeds and their sins. And when there is innocent bloodshed, when there is heinous wickedness that goes on, the Lord will bring judgment against that nation. We see in Scripture that he did it to Israel, and Israel had a sovereign connection with the Lord. America is not Israel. No one in Europe is Israel. No one else on earth is Israel besides Israel. And so the promises to Israel, about Israel, for Israel, they stand alone. We do not inherit those. And so when we read these passages, we shouldn't say we're just like this, but we can understand from the Lord's perspective how he behaves, how he treats peoples and nations. And we know that the Lord was no respecter of nations. He brought judgment against Israel, but he also brought judgment against other nations where there was a cry going out against them. Sodom and Gomorrah, Babylon, Assyria, Egypt, you name it, Persia, all of these nations, there were cries that went up against them, and the Lord brought judgment against them. And a lot of that is written about in the prophets in the Old Testament. A lot of the minor prophets, they have a lot of prophecies about the Lord bringing judgment against these four nations like Edom for their wickedness. Foreign nations that did not have the covenants of Israel, the Lord still brought judgment against them because of the cry that went up against them. There was a cry going up against the city of Gibeah. It was this moment that the Lord used, this one encounter that the Lord used to bring about that justice and that judgment against Israel. And in a tragically sad way, the nation of Israel purged that wickedness from their midst. Now, whether or not this happened at the beginning of the time of the judges or the end, regardless of when that happened, this is going to completely decimate the tribe of Benjamin. There is almost no one left. And we're going to see that this is going to cause a tremendous crisis. At the beginning of chapter one, we're going to see that there's almost no one left. And they know that if something's not done about that, that this sovereignly chosen tribe of Benjamin will cease to exist. That they know that one of the 12 tribes of Israel, of which there is prophecy and destiny, they know that they will no longer exist, and they can't let that happen. And so even though they have cut this tribe down and purged the wickedness from their midst, they know that they still have to do something to save them after they've destroyed them. What a horrible, tragic place to be in. We'll continue the story in chapter 21 for the 10-week Bible study. I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.